the Spirit of Truth. John 15, 26 and 27, and then 16, 4b through 15 is our text today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost is a festival from the Old Testament that came 50 days after the Passover celebration. And as Easter, that event happened around Jesus' death and resurrection, happened around the Passover festival, Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Easter. And because we celebrate Easter always on Sunday, Pentecost is on a Sunday. That's when we celebrate that. These celebrations, these festivals, Passover and Pentecost, were two of the major festivals of the Old Testament, where people from around Israel would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate these feast times. And after many of the people were exiled to other countries, as they had availability of resources to do so, many of them would travel back to Jerusalem eventually to celebrate these festivals there in Jerusalem. In our reading from Acts that we heard earlier, we heard about the first Pentecost celebration after the resurrection. And thanks to Ford for doing a good job going through those all those names of places. That's a tough job. Did a good job at it. So we heard about all these people that came from so many different places to Jerusalem to celebrate the celebration of Pentecost. Now, most of these people would have been Jewish, and they were scattered around to other countries. There were probably some that were worshipped God, but had not converted to Judaism fully, so they weren't considered Jewish, but they worshipped God still, and they came to Jerusalem to celebrate. And what we had as a description from our Acts reading was the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus' followers, as was promised by Jesus. And then we have the preaching that Peter began, his sermon that was there on that event. Now, we heard that the others also were speaking in many different languages. We get the idea that they also were telling the good news about Jesus in all these different languages. Probably something very similar to what Peter was preaching as well. We had the first half of his sermon today, and next week we get to hear the second half of that. And this raises the question then, as the Holy Spirit descended on them, there was a special event as the Holy Spirit came on Jesus' followers. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit descending and filling the believers in this way? And how does this differ from the work of the Holy Spirit before that event? Now, we understand that the Holy Spirit and His work is necessary for being saved, for giving us the gift of faith, to trust in God. And that was true even before Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit always has done that work of bringing people to faith. Now, we do read in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, coming on people, and they would do some sort of preaching, or they would do something else that was rather significant, as the Holy Spirit empowered them to do that. Well, that was only in individual cases in the Old Testament. It happened here and there. It didn't happen for everyone. Now we find that the Holy Spirit is working in that way and descends on all of Jesus' followers. Now, this happened in an obvious way on that first Pentecost celebration after Jesus' resurrection. They saw the Spirit descending in a form that looked like tongues of flame. But that's not an everyday occurrence for us. But we understand from the teaching of the Bible that the Holy Spirit is still working in each one of us that believes in Him in a special way, that believes in Jesus. So to understand a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit in this way, we have our gospel text, which is something that Jesus spoke to His followers before, not long before, all of the events of Good Friday and Easter. It was just leading up to that, some of His teaching in those last moments. In some of the other verses surrounding this text, Jesus talks about the world hating Jesus' followers. As Jesus was living His life, a lot of that hatred came against Him as he was confronting religious leaders and other people, confronting them. But Jesus says he's not going to be there. And so he acknowledges that a lot of that hatred then and that animosity is going to be focused against Jesus' followers because he's not there physically. And so we find that this teaching, this idea that the world hates those who follow Jesus, it plays a part in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so as we listen to our text today, we listen for how Jesus describes the work of the Holy Spirit as he is heading into and preparing for the climax of his work on earth. So we listen for that this morning, John 15:26-27, and 16:4b through 15 is our text this morning. I'll invite you to stand as I read that here this morning. John 15:26-27, and then the following chapter, verses 4b through 15. Reading in Jesus' name. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this. By the way, that's where the gap goes, right in there. After that, say, then we have this. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief, because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the work of this Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we think about Jesus' words describing what the Holy Spirit does, who he is, and how he works, we just ask that you would guide us to be strengthened by the words that he gives to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If there are any kids that would like to come up to the front, they could do that. We have a lighter contingent of kids today. All right. What we are hearing this morning connects pretty well with what you guys learned in Sunday school today. Do you guys remember what was a question that was asked? What did Paul, the apostle, often do? What did he do anywhere he went?
We
heard about a shipwreck. Yeah, he did that. He was in the habit of getting shipwrecked, wasn't he? He got bit by a snake, yep, by a viper. But what did he do when he went traveling around? What was he something that he always did everywhere he went?
He told people about Jesus,
right? And does God want us to tell people about Jesus?
Yeah.
He does, doesn't he? Is it always easy to be able to do that? Is it always easy to be able to tell people about Jesus? No, we might not need God. We might need God's help to be able to tell them about Jesus, right? What do I have here in this picture? Do you guys see? What is that? Yeah, we have the little fire on their heads. What is the little fire on their heads? What is that talking about? What does that show? You guys know? The Holy Spirit, right? That's not from what I just read, but that was what they read earlier, right? The Holy Spirit came down on them, and you know what? It's a little bit hard to understand what it means for the Holy Spirit to be living in us and to be working in us, but one of the things that it means is that he helps us to be able to know how to tell other people about Jesus. So that's what we're going to be, one of the things that we're going to be thinking about today. So would you want to hand a few of those out? Thanks for coming up, guys. You want to hand a few of those out? Thank you. And then you can take the extras back with you. That's fine. Thanks for coming up. All right. Okay. Oh, all right. There we go. All right, well, today we're thinking of, our title is, The Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth is a way that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, we understand is, or another way that we refer to the Holy Spirit is, the third person of the Trinity. As we remember, we worship one God, only one God, but three persons. That mystery that we don't understand how that works. But we have one God and three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, as we think about and as we read about the Father, and as we read about the Son in Scripture, we find different names to describe them that reveal something about them, about who they are. And the same thing is true for the Holy Spirit. And we find some, now there are some names of God that apply to all three of them. And all three persons of the Trinity is just simply describing God. There are other terms that might describe one person or the other in the role that they take in dealing with us, in working with us. And some of those we find in today's text. We have the Spirit of Truth, as I mentioned already. God communicates truth to us. What He tells us is truth. That's kind of a main characteristic of the message that we have from God, that it is truth in a place, in a world where it is hard to find truth. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Advocate. That's what Jesus calls Him. The word that's used in the NIV that I read from this morning is the Advocate. And an advocate is someone who speaks on behalf of someone else. Now, there is a legal way of using this term, the Advocate, but it's not just in court. It's really somebody speaking on behalf of someone else. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's a role that He plays in our lives. Now, some translations, and in fact, I think the NIV in an earlier revision, use the word counselor to talk about the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're familiar with that one. Now, sometimes I think the reason they maybe updated that to advocate is sometimes as we think about counselor, we might think of going to therapy or something like that, which that's just fine, you know, having a counselor, but that's not really the thought that's the primary intent here. It's more that idea of advocating for someone, like legal counsel, counselor in that sense. Some translations simply use the English form of writing, the Greek word, paraclete, and maybe you have heard that word as well. That's simply the Greek word written in English letters. So we might have that. All describing the same thing. The Holy Spirit is on our side. The Holy Spirit is advocating for us and really against the world. Now this is important. It's important for us as we know that when it really comes down to the message that we have, those who don't believe the message of Jesus and the good news, if it really comes down to it, often we find that there is hatred against those who do. There's hatred against the message for those who don't believe it. And Jesus is preparing His followers for that reality. And He prepares us as well. And He encourages them that even with this hatred towards the message of the gospel, they're not alone. And not just for His followers in those days, but also for us. It's an encouragement to know that. There are a few things that we find out as descriptions of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. We find that Jesus sends Him to us along with the Father. And there's the sense of a unity in purpose. Now, we might understand that one God, that's pretty clear. He is going to be united with Himself in His purpose. But it is confusing to be worshiping a God that exists in three persons. So Jesus really clarifies and emphasizes that there is one united purpose between the persons of the Trinity. So what does the Holy Spirit do? What is His role as He works through us? Well, He testifies about Jesus. He works in His followers to bring out the wonderful news. So he works in us to bring out the wonderful news of what Jesus has done for us. And this is reinforced by what comes next. He says, "The Spirit of truth will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Now that in particular is spoken to those that he's speaking to directly there. "You have been with me from the beginning." Now it's important to notice that as he talks about testifying, the Spirit will testify and you will testify. These are not two different types of testimony, but they are really a testifying that goes hand in hand together. The Holy Spirit testifies to the truth of Jesus and the good news through the people who trust in him. He doesn't do it in some other way. He does it through us. He works through us. That's the way that he does it. And we, his people, his followers, those who trust in him, we testify about Jesus through the working of the Holy Spirit in us. We don't do it independently. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. So it goes hand in hand. Now, of course, this is happens in a special way for those who were with Jesus from the beginning, as he says. But the principle is still true. We have received their words that were written down and passed on to us. We have those words, and they work in us to communicate the truth of the gospel to those who are around us. And all of those who trust in Jesus have the Holy Spirit. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit, as I said, is necessary even for us to be able to trust in Jesus, to trust in him. But it's more than that. There's more work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's more than just that. It's not just trusting, but it's communicating the gospel to other people. As we study God's Word, as we read God's Word, wherever we might do that, wherever you might do that in your life, our faith in Jesus is reinforced and strengthened. Maybe you find that as you read. But there's another purpose, too. As we read and study God's Word, the Holy Spirit uses that to help us to share with other people, to communicate the gospel. If our focus in our study, in our reading the Bible, as we read the Bible, as we come together in Bible studies or as we read it on our own, if our primary focus is simply our own faith and trusting in God more, that's great, but we're missing part of the message. It's important to get also what we need facing the strong opposition of those who don't share our faith. And Jesus refers to that here. He says, as I mentioned, there was this part where we skipped over. We didn't read the parts that Jesus said about the world being hating his followers. We didn't read that part. And so there's a few verses in here that we skipped that also deals with the world hating Jesus' followers. And he says, "I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me." The opposition during Jesus' life was focused against Jesus. He was the one teaching. He was the one challenging those in authority. But with him gone, his followers now become the focus and the targets. As with other things that Jesus taught, that his followers are slow to catch on. And he says, "None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things." Now, Thomas did earlier say, how do we know where you're going? But Jesus is saying, you really haven't dug into what I'm telling you here. Instead, you're just sad that I am going away. But now he gives them an explanation that sets them and us on the right train of thought here. He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." All right, he's leaving them, but it's for their good. "Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, we don't know exactly why it's important for Jesus to have gone away, why he can't send the Holy Spirit without having gone away. But maybe it comes from this. The fact that Jesus is going away indicates that his work on earth is complete. So he goes away because he has finished his death, His resurrection, His winning salvation for us. And so because that is complete as He ascends to heaven, that's good. It's good that that whole process is complete. Before Jesus, worship of God was centered on Jerusalem. And it really needed to be that way. Because as God revealed more and more, it was always centered on Jesus, but Jesus hadn't come yet. And so He needed that place. He used that place to give the revelation about Jesus until the time when Jesus came. If people had gone out telling the message of just the Old Testament, it would not have been the whole message. It would not have been all of the story. During Jesus' lifetime, the message was still centered on the Jewish nation and on Jerusalem. But once Jesus had finished His work, as He returned to heaven, the story was now complete. And so all that was left was to put it down in writing and put down in writing everything that Jesus had done so that the message can go to all parts of the world. There was no part of the message that needed to be added anymore. And so when Jesus returned to heaven, the Holy Spirit now came on each one to guide each one of His followers in spreading that word. The first followers, the Holy Spirit worked in them to put those things down in writing, to pass them on to us. As we continue on in our text now, the work of the Holy Spirit is described in two ways. First, the work of that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit towards the world, and then the work of the Holy Spirit in us. First, we find towards the world. When He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. This happens. The way that this happens is as those who believe in Jesus talk about Him. As they spread the word about Jesus, the world hears. And it's a convicting message. We communicate the message of God to people who, along with us, are not naturally bent towards accepting God's work. We are rebellious people, and without the work of the Holy Spirit, we don't come to Him. And as we communicate the message of the gospel, the Holy Spirit communicates to people. And Jesus says it shows the world, the work of the Holy Spirit shows the world that they are wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And He says about sin because people do not believe in Me. Well, there's a lot that's said in just a few words right there. The world is wrong about sin. The world is wrong. They don't acknowledge the problem of sin. They don't acknowledge what's true about Jesus and the salvation that is won in Him and that He is the only way of salvation. Jesus has paid the penalty for sin. And those who don't believe and trust in Him don't benefit from what He has done. And part of the message of the Holy Spirit through us is to communicate that the reality of what sin is and what Jesus has done and communicate that the views of the world about sin are wrong. Jesus goes on, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. Jesus has won righteousness for us. He died. He rose again. What He did was necessary for sinful people to receive righteousness. And as He ascended into heaven, it signified and demonstrated that His mission was complete. The illustration here is that we can no longer see Him. I mean, we never have seen Him, but His followers that were with Him couldn't see Him anymore because the work was done and righteousness was won for people. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The message is that judgment is coming. The prince of this world, Satan, now stands condemned. He is condemned. His doom is sure. We can count on that, and as we find that that is also true, we find that judgment is real. And this is something that the world does not want to believe in, does not want to accept. But judgment is real. And those who have not believed in Jesus, who have not received righteousness, will, in the end, receive judgment. That message is the work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' followers to the world. It's the message to the world. And some reject the message as it comes out to them, but some accept the message and believe it. That's the message that comes to the world through us. And I might ask, are you ready? Are you ready to deliver that message? Do you feel like you can go and speak clearly in any setting the truth of Jesus and what He has done for us? Are you ready to face hatred? If that's the response of those that you speak to, of those who don't accept the message of the gospel? Well, I would say probably, I would guess, probably all of us would say we're not entirely ready for that. There's always some more that we might feel like we could benefit in being ready to share about Jesus. Well, the message from Jesus today is that when we're not ready, if we're not ready, which as I said, I think all of us would probably say in some way we are not ready, we have Jesus' encouragement in this. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Now, he was speaking to the disciples, his followers back there. There's so much. And Jesus acknowledges that even if it is too much for us, he is with us. Now, some of the message of sharing the gospel was carried out in those first decades, and specifically as these things were written down for us. But this is also true in us. And here's how it applies especially to us. Even when we don't feel like we're ready to share about Jesus with those around us, even if we feel like we can't do that, that we're not sure how to do that, Jesus says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit does that for us. The Holy Spirit guided Jesus' first followers as they remembered what Jesus taught, as they wrote and recorded that clearly and correctly. That part of this is done. That part of the work of the Holy Spirit is done. But now He continues to guide His followers to understand what was written. And this doesn't happen all at once. Let me ask you to consider this. If you read through all of the Bible one time and get to the end, would you say that you have now understood everything about God? Everything that there is to understand and to communicate to others? I think we all know that that's not true. I think you know that we come back again and again to God's Word. And as we do, the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, to develop in us the understanding and the trust that comes through God's Word. And we find that there is one unifying message demonstrated by God and who He is. Jesus says, He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit, I guess we shouldn't have the picture that the Holy Spirit is waiting around somewhere for the Father or the Son to tell Him something and say, here, you go tell these people this message. Now, that's not what Jesus is communicating here. The three persons of the Trinity are working in unison. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three persons exist as one God in unity. But what Jesus emphasizes in these words is this unity that exists within God. Not three messages, but one message. The Holy Spirit guides us in the same thing that Jesus was teaching. The Holy Spirit tells what is to come, what the future looks like, what the end of times looks like. And we find that written as some of Jesus' followers wrote down things about what is to come. But even what they wrote, even what Paul and Peter and the others wrote later on, these are not new things. They simply expand on what Jesus taught. We find that record in the Gospels. Jesus also taught about what would happen at the end. It all centers on the same message. And here is how we summarize that in conclusion. Jesus says, He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. There's a unity there. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. unity again. It belongs to all three persons of the Trinity. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what He will make known to you. What a wonderful gift we have. What a wonderful gift that we get to know that all things that are needed to be saved from the rebellion of our sin, that we get to have eternal life. It's a wonderful gift that we get to know all of those things. We get to know and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit that guides us, the Spirit of truth, sent to us by the Father and the Son. And, you know, as we understand the unity of purpose, I suppose we could understand that the Holy Spirit also comes of His own accord, as Jesus, sent by the Father, also came as His own person doing that, right? That He is sent to us to know and to understand the message that is given to us in this world to communicate to them. Isn't it great to know that the message is complete? That we get to know the ending, that Jesus has done it all. We get to understand that. We get to take this message that we receive all over the world to people who need it. All over the world, of course, including those who are right next to us in our lives. Isn't it great to know that even when we don't feel up to it, when people even make it hard to even want to, I think we all can understand that experience of it feeling hard to speak up about what we believe. Isn't it great to know that the Spirit of truth is working through us to share the message of truth? We thank God for giving us the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this teaching that Jesus gave on who the Holy Spirit is and what His work is in our lives. We thank You for sending Him to us so that we can, first of all, trust in You, but then beyond that, that we can communicate clearly the message of Jesus to people who need it. I ask that You would work that in our lives so that we can speak clearly the message of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.